first reading comes to us from Deuteronomy in chapter 34, beginning in the first verse. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is, the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. The Lord said to him, "This is a land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." Then Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab at the Lord's command. He was buried in a valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his burial place to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His sight was unimpaired and his vigor had not abated. The Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the period of mourning for Moses was ended. Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. And the Israelites obeyed him, doing as the Lord had commanded Moses. Never since has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was unequaled for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land, and for all the mighty deeds and all the terrifying displays of power that Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Our second reading comes to us from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 46. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question: "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Oh God, as we listen to the back and forth between Jesus and the religious leaders, Sadducees, Pharisees, lawyers, we hear just how all-knowing you are. You have the answer to every question. There's no tricking you, no putting you to the test and you failing it. Oh God, we pray that as we gather together around your holy word, that even in the midst of whatever questions we might have about you, about our faith, that we might know your heart, your love for us. And may that be enough. God, may your love speak to our hearts this morning, not just to our minds. I pray that you would speak through me to convey your message to your people this day. Amen. Road trips. If you're like most, when leaving for vacation, it's all about getting to the destination. And the journey from home to relaxation and back can be quite stressful in and of itself. In my family, it's the packing of the bags and the car. It's trying to figure out what to take and always packing more than you need of some things and forgetting other things entirely. It's figuring out how to fit everything in the car and then having to go back in the house 5 times once everything is loaded to get just one more thing. As soon as everyone and everything is in and you start to drive away, there's a little sigh of relief, but not total relaxation yet. After a while, you start looking at the clock, looking at the speedometer to figure out how far and how much longer until you get there. If there are children in the back seat, you're constantly being asked, "Are we there yet? Are we ever going to get there? How much longer? How much further?" They're deciding when and where to stop for food and a restroom. Somewhere in the midst of all of this, the frustration can spill over onto the people around you. You arrive at your destination, unpack the car, eventually settling into vacation mode, and then finally begin to wind down. You have arrived. Moses has just been on one epic road trip. He flees Egypt after committing murder. "I am never going back there again." And then there's God in the burning bush saying, "Hey, actually you are going back." God tells Moses to go back to Egypt and free the Israelites from slavery to Pharaoh and lead them toward the promised land. And Moses eventually agrees to go after trying to come up with excuses. He frees the Israelites. You know, there's not much time in the midst of everything to pack more than bread that hasn't had a chance to rise. The Israelites run away through the parted waters of the sea and into the wilderness as Pharaoh's army is vanquished by an act of God. The Israelites get tired, hungry, thirsty, impatient, and complainy. Time and time again, God gives his people what they need to endure, using Moses as the go-between. The people sin. God makes them wander in the wilderness until that generation dies off. Rinse, repeat. The people get thirsty again, and God tells Moses to speak to a rock, and the rock will produce water. Instead, Moses strikes the rock with his staff. God punishes Moses for not obeying and trusting in him after all that they had been through together by not letting him enter the promised land. God takes Moses up on a mountain and lets him see the whole of the land God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He lets Moses see the promised land, but Moses does not get to enter. Moses dies. Never again does there arise a leader quite like Moses. Moses did incredible things on God's behalf. He loved God and served him, but Moses wasn't perfect. Like the rest of the Israelites, Moses had his moments where he was so focused on an objective, like simply getting the Israelites to stop whining and complaining, so focused on getting to the end result of reaching the promised land that he lost sight of what was really important. He lost his center. He became less focused on God's love for him, for us all, and God's desire for us to love in response to God's love in any and all circumstance, and more focused on the details and or results. We're all a bit like that. We're so results driven. We're in such a hurry to get to whatever goal it is we're trying to reach. We blast others for not showing the results we think they should be showing on a timeline we think appropriate by the means we think they should be employing. Our satisfaction and sense of purpose and accomplishment is often found in reaching the destination, receiving that promotion, that pay raise, that grade, getting to retirement, finally getting to purchase that thing that we've always wanted, winning that award. It's not that the destination doesn't matter. It's that we often forget that how we get there, the journey itself, matters every bit as much, if not more. On the journey is when trusting God should happen. A relationship with God is developed. Not once we finally get to heaven, it is on the journey. Tim Keller wrote, "If God is sovereign, you can be called to a vocation, but not called to be successful in that vocation." Trusting in God, loving as we ought to love, it doesn't always mean yielding tangible fruit and being held in high regard and rewarded. It doesn't always mean being able to see something through from beginning to end. Often the journey with God can lead to seem pretty mediocre by the world standards and seem weird or ineffective. But the work still matters, even if what's being accomplished is simply that we are growing closer to God, more reliant upon God, and we are loving and serving the people around us as God calls us. Friends, we often live life with the mindset that that feeling of wholeness of connection, that inner peace and joy and hope, is something off in the distance, in the future. It's one day, someday, when all of this stuff is accomplished, or when I finally have the chance to slow down and breathe. That position of honor, that sense of accomplishment, will be the end result. But the truth is, though we look forward to basking in God's presence one day when we all get to heaven, we can accomplish that very thing right here and now by giving our hearts over to God, the God who made heaven and earth. We can be filled with purpose and hope and, dare I say, a feeling of relaxation and calm right here and right now because our Savior redeems and restores us through his death on the cross for us. Because we love as he first loved us. We will not just one day arrive. Through faith in the one true God, we arrive. The destination matters, but the journey is where the relationship happens, where the love for God and neighbor grows. My daughter, like every child ever, always asks in the midst of a road trip, "Are we there yet?" And I simply reply, "Yes, don't I?" "Yep." And she says, "No, we're not, Mommy." And I smile because I'm half joking and half not. So though just trying to survive this pandemic may feel like all we are capable of right now, may today be a reminder that the love of God goes with us wherever we go. May trusting in God give us the strength for today and the hope for tomorrow. And may that make all the difference right here and right now. Amen.